Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's probably a vindication of the career prosecutors who had said, these are not the cases we should be going on. We don't have a legitimate federal prosecution.
James says that, as she has said from the start, the charges against her are baseless, and it's, quote, time for this unchecked weaponization of our justice system to stop. Another strike on an alleged boat in the Eastern Pacific today kills four people, according to U.S. Southern Command. Earlier on Capitol Hill, lawmakers heard from military officials and saw videos from a strike on a suspected Venezuelan drug boat in September and the second strike when there were known survivors. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
Admiral Mitch Bradley, in classified briefings with lawmakers, walked through his decision to order a controversial double-tap strike, saying the survivors of the initial strike were attempting to salvage the drugs and reboard the boat.
The FBI has arrested 30-year-old Brian Cole from Woodbridge, Virginia, in connection with the 2021 pipe bombs planted outside the Democratic and Republican national headquarters in Washington, D.C. It took place the night before the U.S. Capitol attack, and Attorney General Pam Bondi says,
let me be clear, there was no new tip, there was no new witness, just good, diligent police work and prosecutorial work.
An Israeli delegation was in Cairo today to discuss the return of the last Israeli hostage in Gaza. Reporter Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
Israel has repeatedly said it cannot move forward with the second phase of the peace deal until the bodies of all of the hostages are returned to Israel. An Israeli delegation went to Cairo today to discuss efforts for the return of the last hostage. The second phase calls for Hamas to disarm and Israel to withdraw from more of Gaza.
This is CBS News.
Check off the wish list with instant savings and free battery offers on select steel tools. Shop online at steelusa.com or in-store.
Hey.
From Minnesota's radio station comes the Minnesota stories you need to know about. The news starts now.
I'm Laura Oakes. Arson and insurance fraud charges are now filed against the owner of the historic Lutzen Lodge, which burned to the ground nearly 2 years ago. 41-year-old Bryce Campbell of Two Harbors is in custody after being arrested in Michigan earlier this week. Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension Superintendent Drew Evans.
This was a crime of selfishness. Bryce Campbell put his interests above the livelihood of his employees, the safety of the people that were in the building at the time.
Evans says it was a meticulous investigation over many months that eventually generated enough evidence to bring charges. Faith leaders from across the state standing together today to denounce the recent attacks on the Somali community by President Trump. Paul Graham is a pastor with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
We've all heard by now the recent dehumanizing, racist, and hateful rhetoric coming from the current administration directed at the Somali community. Is this acceptable?
No.
Is it okay?
No.
absolutely not.
We're getting a look at Minnesota's economic outlook, and it's kind of a mixed bag. The new budget forecast shows a current surplus, but also projects a nearly $3 billion deficit in 2028. That's down from the $6 billion that was predicted earlier. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Minnesota's financial position is better than when we came last time. We have recognized challenges remain out over the next 4 years, but we've grown the surplus. We have historic rainy day funds, and economic indicators still show growth here outpacing the national average.
Republican lawmakers say a continued deficit is due to runaway spending, unchecked fraud, and slow economic growth hampered by billions in new taxes. In the weather tonight, rising temperatures, mostly cloudy. I'm Laura Oakes, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Winter is coming, and I'm talking about the chilly housing market. If you need to sell a house now, know that more people are saying no to listing on the ice-cold open market and yes to my Red Hot Guaranteed Cash Offer program. Get your guaranteed cash offer today at chrislindahl.com.
Your all-access pass to what's happening right now. News Talk 830 WCCO.
Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake back here on WCCO, the Lake Show. And joining me here, a common guest when I fill in for Henry Lake, Andy Greeter, who covers the Minnesota Gophers and the football team, putting a wrap on their regular season with the winning the axe against Wisconsin in a game that I hope I never accidentally think of ever again, because it was horrifying. But Andy, my understanding is my understanding. When I look at the names and the people that the Gophers have recruited, I have no idea who these children are or what they will be as football players. What lights can you shine? But I did see headlines that people are very happy about how the Gophers have handled their recruiting. What light can you shine on this for me?
Sure. I would say initially this Gophers class is, you know, 31 players deep. It's currently ranked in the top 30 in the nation, according to recruiting services. And that is a success in Minnesota, given the fact that they don't have a large bounty, a large treasure chest of NIL money to spend on players. So obviously, as you know, in football and football development, it can be a little bit of a crapshoot, but it looks like on paper, they've got some players that they really like, and they've got some depth. And I think when you look to the east, you brought up the Badgers. That recruiting class in Wisconsin is ranked in the 80s. And has probably half the size. So you're always stacking yourself up against what the neighbors are doing, and it looks pretty good compared to what's going out on east.
Wait a minute. Minnesotans stacking themselves up against Wisconsin. I don't know, man. I don't know if I've ever seen that happen. So, all right, tell me what predictive nature does that have in the past? Like, when they've had certain ranked recruiting classes, like, is that done a good job of showing where programs are actually going? Or is it so crazy out there in the college football world with guys committing to one place and then staying for a year, and if they don't get what they want, then transferring to somewhere else or getting offers or poaching guys? Like, does it still tell us something about where the program is going?
I would say if you want an anecdote, an example of where things are at, obviously you can poke holes in you know, recruiting stars, and if somebody gets offered by Ohio State, that's likely a 4-star guy. If they get offered by Minnesota, it's given a 3-star and those kinds of things. And I completely understand all of that. I would say, and when you look at what's happened in Minnesota the last couple of years, they had Corey Parrish a couple of years ago. He was considered a 4-star recruit. He came to Minnesota, was all Big Ten first team as a true freshman. He didn't play as well this year, but was still kind of a dynamic player for them. The number one recruit last year in the state of Minnesota was Emmanuel Carmo from Robbinsdale Cooper. He was getting on the field early on this year. I think he kind of showed himself to be a player for the future. He kind of looks the part as a real Big Ten linebacker. And then you look at this year's class, and Roman Voss, a kid from southwest Minnesota, who's coming to Minnesota, who turned down Alabama. I think that should get everybody's attention. And he's coming to the Gophers. He's going to play tight end. He's considered one or number two in the state of Minnesota. So I think when you look at who else was offering these guys and what they're able to do on the field, I think you can look at the cream of the crop and say, okay, this does kind of pan out when you do see it on campus, when you do see it live.
Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press joining us here on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Well, I think that dovetails into a bigger conversation about where the program is going under PJ Fleck now. And I'm going to tell you the truth. In that Northwestern game, yeah, I may have flipped the table watching it in frustration about, and I don't even care that much. I'm just like, make a stop. Yeah. My gosh, it's Northwestern. This quarterback has completed 50% of his passes for the year. If they had won that game, I think it'd feel a little bit different about the totality of the season. You don't expect to beat Ohio State or really play with a team that well. The Iowa game was not acceptable, but okay if you have a stinker mixed in there. But I think when you have a quarterback like this, that would make me feel like there's a lot of opportunity to put things around Drake Lindsey and have him develop and continue to get better to the point where this team has the potential. I don't want to say that they'll get there, but the potential to get to places maybe they haven't been in the past. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, I think when you look at the season, obviously it's kind of been the way things have gone over the last couple of years where it's been a little bit above average, but you can look at games and say, man, they could really make this a 8-9-win season, and they can also go the other way, and this could be a 4 or 5-win team, right? It's always kind of on this seesaw for them. But when you look at Drake Lindsey, he's a redshirt freshman quarterback, and I thought he handled himself very, very well. That Northwestern game that you mentioned, he had 4 touchdowns in that one. You talk about the Wisconsin game that you never want to see again. He protected the football. I think that was kind of the most important thing for him. When talking to PJ Fleck about the recruiting class yesterday, I really perked up when he was talking about how he brought Drake Lindsey into kind of the recruiting process and the roster building aspect of it. Obviously, he wants to keep him. Obviously, he knows that other schools might come and whisper in his agent's ear about what those other schools could offer him NIL money. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of finding creative ways to be like, well, you're my guy, and I'm going to show you it by bringing you behind the curtain where players don't usually go about how we're trying to give you weapons to be successful. And that's what I wrote about yesterday about some guys that they feel like bring some speed and kind of some dynamism to the offense to kind of stretch the field, which I think is going to be kind of the next evolution for them. Obviously, they were kind of guarded with him and kind of protective of what they wanted or would let him do, just given the fact that he was so young. But I think now they'll kind of take that governor off. And it was interesting to kind of hear the fact that Drake was part of these conversations about who they were going after, why they were going after him, what they could provide around him. And I think that's got to be really encouraging for where this offense can go, just given the fact that they know that they have to throw the ball down the field more. I know that this is kind of a bang your head against the table kind of situation for the Gophers, but I think we'll probably see more of that going into next year. Drake Lindsey's arm talent and his experience now that he has is a big reason why they feel like they can do this.
It's kind of crazy about these quarterbacks that make a lot of money and get put into situations that maybe they're a little bit over their head, unlike in the past where a young quarterback might not start playing until he was a junior. But now it's like, hey, Arch Manning, get out there. And then the whole world evaluates him on his first 3 games or something. But I do, as I was watching Drake Lindsey throughout the year, I thought that he was getting better and better. And I feel like with his raw talent that there is a very high upside there. How concerned should we be that someday, because there's a long way to go here in his college career, a team will come in with many millions of dollars to the point where he can't turn that down?
Yeah, I think that's kind of always a concern. I've asked PJ about that a little bit, about kind of where they're at with that. I will say this, that Drake comes from a very well-off family, so he's not looking to do it for kind of personal benefit for himself and his family. He's not trying to, take care of his mom and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the aspect here. I think that they are really kind of leaning into, hey, this is our culture. This is our family. We're doing this together. I think there's always a concern of that, but I think I go back to kind of bringing him to the recruiting process and roster building of kind of saying, hey, man, we know you're special, and we're going to show you how we can build around you to kind of love him up in that way.
Now that we've gotten a couple of years into the NIL world, and I know that it's always changing and sometimes in bizarre and comical ways, but I wondered about, you know, PJ, when we got into this place where people were chasing money, if PJ would be good at identifying certain players who weren't necessarily about that and wanted to be about more of the things that he talks about. Do you feel like he is well fit for this space? Because I think when the Big Ten came together to become the Big Ten / Pac-12, there was concern and projections that like this Gopher team was going to fall off the map and just get steamrolled by all those teams. And well, they have not dominated the Big Ten. They have also not been completely smashed by NIL and these other things. So how do you feel like PJ has shown himself in this very new environment?
I think everything that you look at when it comes to college football these days really needs to be kind of a ratio, right? The Gophers finished seventh in the Big Ten, tied for seventh. And you look at that and you're like, well, that's kind of middle of the pack. This is an 18-team league. Is that really good? But when you factor in that they are in the bottom third when it comes to NIL money, you say you're getting a bigger return for that investment. I think that shows that you're kind of outkicking your coverage, being more successful, those kinds of things. I think you really need to have a broader context in what's going on when it comes to college sports. It's not just, oh, they finished seventh and, oh, they finished sixth last year, and this is just kind of the status quo for the program. I think when you look at how they're being outspent by other teams and still are finding ways to be successful is a credit to them. There's one thing that happened yesterday. PJ gets up at this kind of signing day social kind of thing, and we'll talk about each recruit. And he'll go on different stories about each guy, like this kid's mom makes the best mac and cheese, or this kid's brother asked me more questions than any parent I've ever had in my office when we're getting right down to it. And he goes on and on and on about these different anecdotes, primarily with parents. And I asked him kind of a question about how important that is for him in this process. And he's like, you know, I probably shouldn't do this, but I've been told in the NIL process to not talk to kids' parents, that I should only talk to the agent, that this is all about business. Hmm. And PJ is like, no, this is a relationship thing. I recruited these guys X amount of years ago, and we did this because we're about other things than just football. And if we're going to make this decision on how much they're going to get paid and what it matters to them, he wants to incorporate the parents because he feels like he's doing more than just coaching them up on the football field. And I think that was interesting about how he knows that if it just comes down to money and just comes down to how much playing time they have, he might not be able to win in that kind of conversation and that kind of calculus. But if he's able to bring in the parents in and be like, well, you know, you're doing all these other things and it's bigger than that, I think he feels like he can win there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. Like you're touching on my sense for that, which is that he is the type of personality that might be able to make these connections to give him an advantage in this space that not everybody always has. One more thing, Andy Greeter. Lane Kiffin was a lot of entertainment for me. And I have to explain to you how I consume college football. I view it like every Saturday I go to the circus. I sit down with my popcorn and I watch the lunacy unfold. I have no connection to any of these teams. And what I root for is things to be insane, comical, dramatic, wild, unpredictable. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed the podcaster using a very inappropriate reference and then, you know, having a back and forth in a press conference. Now, people shouldn't try to run him off the road, but flipping him off as he flies away, tremendous, tremendous content for me. What did you make of that entire circus?
I mean, I agree with you. I think it's wild to see that was going on the way that it was, and seeing the kind of behind the scenes things about him trying to coax Ole Miss into coaching in the playoff and telling assistant coaches that they weren't on the plane with him to Baton Rouge, that they weren't going to be on his staff. I mean, like chaos and drama just find him wherever he goes, right? And I think that that's great for neutrals. They can just look at it from afar. But if you're in the middle of it,
if you're
a Tennessee fan, I'm sure you kind of roll your eyes at it. I'm sure if you're a Ole Miss fan, you're still, you know, steamed about it. So I understand if you're right in it. But like you said, for neutrals that are just looking at it for the drama, for the storylines, yeah, it was incredibly rich. But I think it also shows kind of how broken this thing is, because you have a generational best in program history football team at Ole Miss going to the college football playoff, kind of rubbing your hands together like, here we go, let's do this, and your head coach walks out the door.
Right.
Right when the playoff is supposed to happen. Like, everything about kind of what you're supposed to be about shows that it's not about that. And I think that's what really sucks, is that you want to be building up towards the playoff and be about football, and it shows that this is, you know, kind of about money and prestige and ego more than it is about between the lines.
Yeah, I have a saying about that. The NFL coaching is about schemers, and the college coaching is about scammers. And that's why a lot of college coaches do not survive in the National Football League like Lane Kiffin. Let me just sneak in one more thing. Here's my question. Gophers men's basketball? That's the question, Andy. That's the question.
If you were to have asked me this at 5 minutes before tip-off, I would have said, no, I don't see it. Because they lost their starting point guard for the year. They were without their starting center. They had lost three games in a row. They were 4-4. They were, you know, almost a double-digit underdog against a ranked Indiana team at home, and it just looked bleak. And for them to kind of pull it out the way that they did, I think it shows a lot of character about who they have in a coach, in Nico Medved, who the remaining players are, about what this matters to them. I think it's going to still be a long year, but I think when you're looking at it, you're seeing games over Thanksgiving and Black Friday, and the way that they weren't competitive in Friday's game and lost a close one on Thanksgiving, you're like, man, how many Big Ten games do they have in this team? And then you lose your starting point guard for the rest of the year, and you think, man, are they going to finish bottom of the Big Ten? Mm-hmm. And it looks like they might be plucky and might be able to do a few things in this conference. But I think it's good for attention. I think people were talking about it. I don't think people would have been talking about it if they would have lost by any margin last night. But I think it kind of shows about what this town could be if this basketball program does eventually get it turned around under Nico Medved.
Yeah, well, good for them. You get a high point, and maybe they'll at least be interesting and entertaining, and that would be an upgrade. Andy, you're always one of my first choices when I know I'm filling in hosting, and you'd always do a great job. Enjoy following your coverage. So I appreciate you, man. Thanks for taking all the time tonight, and we'll talk again next time.
Yeah, thanks for the compliment. Enjoyed joining you, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Andy Greeter there on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We'll take a quick break, and I want to throw out a take based on 57 million folks watching a football game. We'll do that when we return.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Like the rest of America, on Thanksgiving Day, I watched the Kansas City Chiefs play the Dallas Cowboys. You know what? It's a lot of fun. It's a good football game. And the numbers came out that 57 million people watched that Thanksgiving Day game, which is like a Super Bowl, basically. And I was thinking about, why is it? And I know football has been king for a while, but why is it that it has that level of attraction? And one of the things I came up with is, I mean, there's the storylines and quarterbacks and, you know, there's nothing else on and all that sort of thing. And they create these islands of, like, right now we're watching Dallas and the Detroit Lions play. And every game is so big when you have so few of them. It's, you know, the Timberwolves play every two or three nights. And if we overreacted to that, then we would go insane, right? Oh, you barely beat the Pelicans in overtime, but Anthony Edwards was great. And, you know, we would go nuts if we treated it like it was the NFL. So they create these huge events where every single game on a Sunday feels like a huge event, and they do that for Thanksgiving. It's the perfect window for everyone to sit around the old TV and watch them play ball. But I also had another thought as well, which is when we look at all of the sports, we go through baseball and basketball specifically, but just every sport, it feels like a lot of them have changed in ways that make them less fun to watch. Like baseball, thank goodness for the pitch clock, because if without it, it was unmanageable. Games going 3.5 hours. But, you know, you don't have the starting pitchers that you used to have. Like, these sports have undergone significant changes with how they're actually played. So you have 17 pitchers coming into a game between the two teams. Lots of pitching changes. You don't have a marquee matchup anymore of starting pitchers outside of every team might have two guys that could go seven innings. That's about it. That's a significant change. Players accepting that strikeouts are fine has made games much harder to stick with, because and fielding is just not that big of a deal anymore, because when do you ever get to field the ball? And batters hit 200 and hit a bunch of home runs, and that's less exciting. And the NBA has changed to so many three-pointers and also so many games, it feels like. Now, they've always played a lot of games, but so much rest where you rarely see a team's full starting lineup, it feels like. And then you see so many three-point shots that if a team gets ice cold, they just lose by 40. And they, you know, okay, like they had a bad night shooting and the game is just over. But also, I was thinking about this the other night with the Wolves. For about three quarters of that game, the effort was pathetic. But how many games do you watch in the regular season? And I understand why this is. I'm not saying the players don't want to try. I think that if they did, if they went full bore all the time, that they would just be completely gassed for this 6 months marathon that is the NBA playoffs. That feels like it goes forever with all the rounds and all the games. So how can you give 110% every single night? You just get hurt, which we see a lot of guys happening anyway. The NFL feels like the same exact game that I was watching 20 years ago. And there are differences. Like, there's more emotion. There's more defensive players blitzing, standing up before the snap. And like there's things that are schematically quite a bit different, but fundamentally it's the Cowboys and the Chiefs playing the same football that we've always watched. And that feels good in a world that is constantly changing and oftentimes for the worst. So that's my theory. Let's take a break and let's go around the National Football League. We've got a 3-3 contest right now with Dallas and Detroit. And we'll keep track of that one as well as the Timberwolves and the Wild as we go on through the night. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. All right, the Wild play later on this evening against the Calgary Flames. And the Timberwolves right now have a 35-28 lead over the 3-19 New Orleans Pelicans, who still have a team. Let's go around the NFL with Mr. Chris Tubbs. What is going on, Chris?
Well, this is a little ditty that we do, maybe once a week. We usually try and do it a little bit later on in the week, but apparently, rumor has it that you're a professional football guy, so
that's true.
So we're gonna discuss it.
The rumors are true.
So you had talked a little bit earlier, but just to be specific, what are your expectations for J.J. McCarthy this week against Washington?
I think they have one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And I believe that they will get it together a little bit. It will not be mind-blowing, but I'll throw it out there. He will throw for 215 yards, two touchdowns, run another touchdown, and only one interception, and the Vikings will win the game. And people will feel better about J.J. McCarthy. But of course, it's just one game, and we can't against one of the worst teams in the league. But I think there will be at least a reason to come out of the game saying, okay, all right, this is maybe a corner to turn, maybe some confidence to gain, ? That's how I'm projecting it. And to tell you the truth, anything less than that is a calamity, because Washington is allowing, in terms of yards per pass attempt, they're the worst in the league. They're terrible. They can't rush the passer. They've got a bunch of injuries. Their two top corners are injured. It's not a good team. So they should be able to get something going in the passing game.
Dumbing down the playbook.
Yeah.
Long term, is this good for the reset? Because this is going to ultimately lead into the next question. If you want to see what a guy's got, don't you just continue to feed him?
Right.
Let him have everything at the buffet instead of saying you can only have two or three dishes?
It's good for one single week. Because if you reduce, and this is the thing about the complicated offense, if you reduce it too much, and I don't doubt that O'Connell has put too much on his quarterbacks at times, although the last guy went to the Pro Bowl and made a lot out of this offense, mm-hmm. right? Sam Darnold. But, I think maybe it was a little much for a quarterback of J.J. McCarthy's lack of experience. But if you start only using certain formations because those are the ones that he can get inside the huddle, and you stop using motions and you make the cadence very basic, these defenses, they make a lot of money too. And, you're playing Dallas next week, and they've improved greatly on defense over the last number of weeks because they traded for Quinnen Williams, and you're playing Detroit and mm-hmm. Green Bay at the end of the season. You can't just make it a college offense, a high school offense for J.J. McCarthy for a couple weeks and think that that's going to make it click in. So I think for a confidence builder against a horrendous football team, sure. But as a solution, no. Your idea would be to work back up to a regular NFL offense.
Well, that leads me into the next question, because we talk about the soft reset. Well, I feel like he had the reset when he was out with the ankle injury.
Yep.
And then you have another reset when you're out with the concussion.
Right.
And we've heard about Bryce Young. Has he turned a corner? Well, right. You look, and some of the numbers aren't spectacular. He's had some really nice games, but then he's had some, average games. But if you look at the numbers overall, 2,300 yards, 18 passing touchdowns, 9 interceptions. My question to you is, can the Vikings, with the slow development of Bryce Young, can they look at that and say, okay, this is a timeline that we can follow when we're looking to develop our own guy?
Something really important to note there. Bryce Young's team last year around him was atrocious. His number, what do we got here? Is that a safety?
We got a safety.
We got a safety. Dak Prescott taking a safety.
The Motor City Kitties.
5-3. The Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that Tigers over the Rangers. It was a two-run double by Spencer Torkelson. Wow. Knocked in a couple.
Aiden Hutchinson. Where did they get him? Oh, yeah, top of the draft, where the Vikings never pick. But, yeah, so that's kind of the point, is Bryce Young's, it might not be a safety. He may have had the football. Nah, I think it is. So Bryce Young's team was terrible. And when you're playing with a horrible team as a really young quarterback, I think it's very hard to put the team on your shoulders. When you have the team that won 14 games last year, and I know they've had some injuries, and the offensive line's been banged up, and there have been a lot of different offensive line combinations and so forth, but you have three excellent wide receiving options and haven't been able to make anything out of them. Like, I think that that turn can happen, but you were expected to be a lot better than this mm-hmm. when you have the supporting cast that you have. It's really seemed like he is just simply in over his head at this level. And I don't know how long it takes to get there or if he can get there, because sometimes quarterbacks just can't. Like we were looking at the other day in the media room there out in TCO Performance Center, just different quarterbacks who had been drafted in the first round, and it was kind of a failure to launch. Like mm-hmm. Trey Lance, Anthony Richardson, Paxton Lynch. There are good organizations like the 49ers who have drafted guys where it just doesn't work out. I don't think any of us really know, because it takes time to know. They're reviewing the safety, by the way. But I think that where we've landed at right now is very, very concerning. And if there's a corner to turn, it better start turning fast, because they don't have time with this much talent to wait.
I think that's one of the more important points that might get overlooked, is the fact that the Vikings do have a good team. Like, they were expected to be competitive. So it's
no safety. Yeah, no safety.
They took the safety off the board. Boo. So, yep.
It was, it was a safety.
Nah, ground rule double. Ball got stuck underneath the wall at Comerica.
How in the heck is that not a safety? Okay. So, instant replay, a scourge on society. Yeah. Carry on.
So, guys get released and guys get picked up.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen waived, picked up by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Darius Slay, released by said Pittsburgh football team, is not going to report to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
After being claimed, he said he's going to, quote, take time away. So, here is my question to you. Darius Slay not reporting, going to take some time, but you don't have a whole lot of time. You're in week 14. How do you feel about him not reporting right now to the team that claimed him?
It's a little odd. It is a team that is a championship contender, so you would think that he would want to go and try to compete for a championship. He's at the end of his career. I don't think there's a whole lot left for Darius Slay. There may be a physical element to this where he has maybe been trying to fight through injury and feels like...
he's been doing this a long time, like 12 years, yeah. 13 years, something like that?
He's been in the league a long time.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just, I don't know if I can physically push forward and go to another team and reset my entire life. He might have kids. I don't know. These are grown men, so maybe he doesn't want to uproot his family in the middle of the season or be away from his family. That's a possibility. So there might be some life reasons for him that he doesn't want to do it. Maybe he flew into Buffalo and looked around and, oh, come on. That's my hometown, so I can make the joke. But have you tried the wings, Darius? I don't know. That's an interesting situation.
Maybe you could sell him on Buffalo.
Yeah.
You should.
Well, selling him on Buffalo is, why don't you watch that big old quarterback play and you know that in the playoffs, you're going to have a chance to win a championship with Buffalo. I actually would still, despite their problems, pick them in the AFC versus a lot of these other quarterbacks in a head-to-head matchup in the playoffs. But there might be just more to it for Darius Slay. I don't know. I was surprised by that. Usually, though, a guy like that is at the end of his career. If a good team wants him, he's normally going to go.
So we've got the Thursday night football game, the Lions and the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys have been on a nice run. Of course, they beat the Chiefs on Thanksgiving. My question to you is, considering all of a sudden the NFC looks stronger than I thought it was going to be just a month ago, are we looking at a potential of either one of these teams, whichever one loses, missing out in the playoffs? Dallas right now, second in the NFC East. The Lions are third in the North. But you got a really good competitive NFC West. You got three teams that have nine wins. I don't think there's any guarantee that the loser of this makes the playoffs.
Right. How crazy is the NFC West, where you have the Rams, Seahawks, and 49ers playing as well as they have? I think you're right that the loser of this game is probably not going to make it. And
that'd be crazy to think about the Lions already.
I know, right? I think, just from a Vikings perspective, like, you play both of these teams too. So there is spoiler to play going forward. And you do wonder about, well, Christmas Day, there will be a lot of motivation for the Lions. But if the Lions lose this and they feel like they're out, and then they've had a very disappointing season, I don't know, maybe is there not quite the same edge to that football game? Or, I mean, maybe do the Vikings get flexed if Dallas loses?
Oh, I hope not.
And then, because that could happen. They can flex that that game for Sunday Night Football for next week. So that might be an interesting implication.
I got planned Sunday afternoon. NFL, don't flex that game.
Well, you know what I think? If you're the rest of the NFC, you would probably... Do I want to say you would rather have the Detroit Lions win this game and knock Dallas out? Because the two wide receivers from Dallas, their offense, if it gets going, I think it could be kind of scary.
Yeah,
I think you'd rather have the Lions in this very wounded Lions team that looks very beatable.
The NFC North. I kind of figured we would see two teams, but is it possible with Chicago that the NFC North, because we just talked about the West, is it possible that the North gets three teams in the postseason?
I'd be surprised by that. Seattle's got a few tougher games coming up. San Francisco is 9-4. San Francisco the rest of the way plays against Tennessee, Indianapolis, Chicago, and Seattle. So there will be a lot to be determined there. I don't know. I think it would be hard to get three teams in, considering where that race is at with two 9-win teams that are holding down the wild cards right now. But, you know, San Francisco could get ice cold going forward here. They do not have a fully healthy team, and they've been sort of scraping by on an easy schedule. I could see them falling off. And I could also see, you know, the Lions have been so good in recent years that if they win this game, they have a chance to get hot. They're playing the Vikings on, you know, Christmas Day, get a win there and potentially get into the playoffs. But this both races, the AFC and NFC, are wild.
And let's go ahead and wrap on the AFC playoff race. I'm looking at the AFC West, and I'm seeing a very unfamiliar team that is sitting at 6-6. And okay, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chiefs at 6-6, you got the Ravens, who, I mean, Lamar, it's a very un-Lamar-like season. They've had a lot of injuries, especially on defense. Is there a chance that both the Chiefs and the Ravens miss the playoffs?
Yes. Yes, there is. Because Lamar has just not been healthy this year. It's very clear from the way he's playing that that's not the Lamar Jackson that we're used to seeing. The other night was a travesty. The way he played against Cincinnati just did not look like himself.
And you talk about a team that is prone for a get-right spot. It's Cincinnati. They've got one of the worst defenses, especially their pass defense, right, in the league.
So much of this is based on who you're going to play down the stretch. So this game against this week is Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That could determine the whole thing. And then they play again in the last week of the season. But, you know, Pittsburgh has a game against Miami. They've got a game against Cleveland. Those are winnable football games. I think both of those teams are mediocre and extremely flawed, but I would tend to lean toward the Ravens winning this week and having the best chance. Cincinnati is still remotely in the race. The question that I would have is, do people want Kansas City out or in? Because for parity's sake, having Kansas City out is kind of fun. Like, oh, it'd be like if the Yankees aren't in the playoffs. But it's also not quite the same. Like, if Lamar and Mahomes are not in the playoffs, because that is fun. To not have the best quarterbacks in the entire NFL, I don't know. I kind of want them there with underdogs chasing them. All right, 3-3 is the score, but Detroit is moving the football at the moment after they tried to throw a bubble screen to a backup offensive tackle. I'm not making that up. When we return next hour, Dane Mizutani, the Pioneer Press, is going to talk some football. They just ran an end around. Did he get in?
I think Jameson Williams, I think he was out at the one.
His foot is out.
Yeah, he's out at the 1.5.
So they're out at the 1. Lions are going to try to score here to take the lead. It's 3-3 right now. Should have been a safety earlier, but it somehow wasn't. Anyway, let's take a break. We will return, talk some more football next hour as well. And I don't go to the movies. I want to talk about that as well. All right, Detroit just scored. We'll take a break. All right, the Minnesota Timberwolves are currently up, if you're wondering, 55-49 against the New Orleans Pelicans in the National Hockey League. We will see the Wild. They're going to play a little later. Actually get started in about 5 minutes here against the very poor Calgary Flames. That is your fantastic Minnesota Wild. Tubbs, are you buying or is it too early?
It's still too early. I know that the goaltending has been fantastic and they vaulted all the way up to the third in the Western Conference, but I still,
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I want to buy, but I just can't.
So right now, yeah, they are 15-7-5.
I mean, the fact that they're able to get points in games, even when they're going to overtime, it's impressive. Just get points. That's the thing. Even if you go to over, just get points. That's been my thing.
8-0-2 in the last 10 games.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Colorado. Have you looked at Colorado's record?
No. Are they like 75-0 at this point?
They have one regulation loss this year.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In 26 games.
They are the Oklahoma City Thunder of the NHL.
They have outscored opposing teams by 50 goals.
Seems like a lot.
I did not realize that until I just looked at it right now. So the Wild still got some work to do. Maybe there's a date, like in the NBA, where Christmas Day is always the turning point in the NBA. Like, all right, let's take this seriously now. Wonder where that date is for hockey. maybe it's like January, into January. Because they got off to a hot start last year, and then they started to, in May, and then they started to fall off. So the Wild get going in just a couple minutes. All right, we'll talk with Dane Mizutani, the Pioneer Press, when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.